Hey, ladies, Brave Enough is here to remind you that you're not alone and that you have the strength to be brave enough for one more day. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Brave Enough. We are so happy that you guys are here. And first and foremost, I want to say Happy New Year! Yes. It is 2020.
Wow, I can't even believe it.
I know, that's insane. But I hope that your holiday season was awesome and that it brought you all of the joy, all of the peace, all of the laughter, all of the things that we talked about counting down to the holidays, to Christmas, to New Year. I hope you rang it in style, or at least in the way that you wanted to. Right. In style for me meant in bed by 10.
Ditto.
But, you know, that's not true for everybody. So since we are talking about the new year, I want to do a podcast today talking about not getting lost in your single story, starting off your new year fresh and ready to take on the world, conquer whatever hangups you may have. And what is a single story? I think oftentimes we come into the new year eager to start off good, eager to start off with new and exciting things, but we bring our baggage with us. Yes. We bring our stereotypes. We bring our own negative opinions of ourselves into the new year. And so it makes it very hard for us to tackle those New Year's resolutions or those New Year's promises or whatever terminology you want to put on it. I'm not a resolution person, but I'm always ready to start the new year with, you know, big, bold ideas. And I know that I've gotten trapped in this idea of letting my baggage follow me into the new year. And I feel defeated before the year is even halfway through. So there was a few years back, I heard a sermon, and the sermon was based off of a TED Talk that I heard. Mm-hmm. And I was so impressed by the sermon and by the TED Talk that I immediately went out and I listened to the full TED Talk. On a side note, I am going to put the link to the TED Talk this podcast description. Okay. And I highly encourage that you do the same thing, because I'm not even going to begin to branch all the topics that she talked about. So what the TED Talk was about was called The Danger of a Single Story. And the TED Talk was by, and I know I'm going to mess up her name, but I'm going to do my very best here.
Do this.
So it's Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. She is amazing. And this TED Talk was amazing. And the entire TED Talk was talking about our societal norms, which create single stories or stereotypes that label people, and then how we get lost in what we think we know about someone or about ourselves, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to quote two quotes from the TED Talk that I think are really impactful.
These are amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
And I want you guys to hear them. So, the single story creates stereotypes, and the problem with stereotypes is not that they are untrue, but that they are incomplete. They make one story become the only story. Mm-hmm. And again, this was by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, The Danger of a Single Story, and it was on TED Talk. The second quote from her was, "The consequences of the single story is this. It robs people of dignity. It makes our recognition of our equal humanity difficult. It emphasizes how we are different rather than how we are similar."
Love it.
I know. I'm just going to stop there for a second and just say, wow. Both of those quotes, if you get nothing else out of that TED Talk, are just wow to the tens. These two quotes are huge, and I challenge you to take the time to learn the whole story about yourself, mm-hmm. about the people around you. I allow yourself to find the similarities in your stories with other people. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, as you're listening to this podcast, if you take a few seconds, I'm sure there's that mom at the school that you have labeled. There is that person at the theater or at the music place or wherever you go with your kids that you have labeled. There is a husband that you have labeled. There is a coworker that you have labeled. unintentionally,
right.
not with bad intentions, but you've put them into a box because you assume you know the rest of their story. And that's what this TED Talk opened my eyes up about, is that I think we do it unintentionally. We do it because society allows us to, or right. because society puts those ideas into our head. Now, again, I've already said it a couple times, but I want to flip it and I want to focus on ourselves. The TED Talk that Chimamanda did was primarily about single stories and stereotypes looking outward. You're looking at other people. I want to talk about looking inward a little bit.
Right.
Because I think we do this to ourselves as much as we do it to other people. I'm going to give you some examples of my story. When I got divorced, I let myself get trapped in my single story. It was about the fact that I was a single mom. I was divorced. I was broke. I didn't have a house. I didn't have this. It was all the negative things mm-hmm. that I thought other people were judging me for. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, nobody noticed those things. Those weren't the things that people were looking at me. But I let myself be trapped by the single narrative that I had created for myself. And one of the best stories, and I think I've probably shared it on this podcast. I know I've shared it with a lot of people. But I was so wrapped up in this idea that I was broken and that I wasn't worthy of friendships, or I wasn't worthy of whatever scenarios you want to put in there. And I went, my daughter was in a music class at the time, and I loved the music class. I look forward to that day with her. It was fantastic. Well, due to circumstances, I had to move. It was, you know, it was just one more, mm-hmm. you know, straw on the camel's back. However, again, another analogy. But I was so broken. I was so beat down. And because I moved, I had to take this music class at a different location. All new moms, all new kids, even a few dads were in that scenario too. And I went to this class and I remember coming home and I was devastated. I was absolutely in tears. And I'm actually choking up just saying mm-hmm. this, which is so funny.
Yes.
Because I felt like I was never going to be friends with these people. Mm-hmm. I was never going to fit in with these people because I lived in a more uppity community, actually, believe it or not, because I had moved in with my parents. But again, that was another single story that I had let tell my narrative is that I was in my 30s and living with my parents. I had no job or a part-time job, I think, at the time. And I was just, you know, I was barely making it. And I thought that these people had made all kinds of assumptions about me. And I remember just saying I could never go back. And I remember my mom talking to me and encouraging me that those were not the things that they saw in me, and just to go to be the person that I was. And I did. I went back. And now, I don't know, 5 years later, the two moms that I was the most terrified of are now my closest, dearest friends. Mm-hmm. They are the ones I call whenever I have problems. They never saw those stereotypes or those single stories that I had labeled myself with. All they saw was a mom who was making it on her own and providing great opportunities for her daughter. And they saw me as a great parent. And I want to encourage you to think about some of the things that you label yourself with. Jan and I are very fortunate that we get to go and work with a lot of women who are dealing with addiction. Mm-hmm. And I think I've had this conversation with them, actually this exact yes. same conversation. Yes. They let themselves get labeled by their addiction. They let themselves get labeled by their homelessness. They let themselves get labeled by the abuse that they suffered. And obviously these are extremes of those scenarios. It can be the way you look in that dress that you used to love. It could be the way you do your makeup, or the inability to do your makeup or your hair, or to look like the girl who you work with in the office. Like I said, it can be big, it can be little. But as we enter into this new year, I challenge you to look at those things that you've labeled yourself with and allow yourself to shake those. I think that it would be really, really good if you go and listen to this podcast and you hear about the external single stories that we allow to seep into our lives. And I think you can start to frame maybe some of those little things that you deal with on a day-to-day basis that you let seep into your life about yourself.
Right.
And about you, the way you think people view you, because I bet they probably don't. And one of the things that was really fun for me after I heard this was that my ability to see the way that I was not seeing the full story for someone else, when I started trying to be very aware of that externally, again, sometimes it's a lot easier to fix things externally than it is internally. So I started looking externally, and how was that mom at the school who I think is this or that or whatever? How are our stories similar? Why is she why does she do it that way versus this way? And when I started doing that, I found it seeping into my internal views as well. And it allowed me to think, well, if I can have a parallel with her, then she can have a parallel with me, because now I'm letting that full story mm-hmm. come out.
Seep.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. all seeping in. And it goes back to that original quote, and I'm going to read it again because I think it's a really, really good quote. The single story creates stereotypes. And the problem with stereotypes is not that they are untrue, not that they are untrue, but they are incomplete. And I think that is the key here. And I didn't finish off the quote, but I think that that's the key here is that right. we don't complete the story. And I want to challenge you this new year, 2020, we're mm. here, we're ready to take on the world. Let some of those stories start completing themselves. Allow them to become a full story. And maybe you will find parallels with people that you never in a million years thought that you would be able to have parallels with. I created two of the most amazing friendships with people who I thought stories were nothing like mine. But yet, we have so many things in common. And I've been taking over the mic. I'm not sure if Jan's got some stuff to weigh in on this one.
I just think it's great because we all do this. We all stereotype. We don't like people stereotyping us, but yet we do it to other people. And then when we get to know people, we realize they've got stories. And even if it's not similar, it makes me feel like, wow, I'm not alone in this whole process. Yes, I have my stories. From a little child, I felt like I was never good enough. Wasn't good enough for my dad, wasn't good enough for my best friend who decided that she didn't like me anymore because these girls over here were the more of the, you're not seeing my air quotes, but cool people. And so I didn't fit in. I felt like I didn't fit in. So I was degrading myself. And that carried on for many, many years mm-hmm. and into different relationships in my first marriage. And I come to realize I'm not alone in this, that there are other people who have gone through similar stories, similar situations, and that we can encourage each other in those. And honestly, even though I was feeling like I wasn't good enough, I was teaching my son that he was good enough. I was teaching him everything that I felt negative about me, yeah. wanting to be positive in him. And he grew up to be an amazing, strong character yeah. of that, because of that. And it just showed me years afterwards that you know what? Dang it, I am good enough. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see the similar stories. It's good to know that I'm not boxed in of not being good enough or having that abusive relationship or da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you fill right. in the blanks. That this is all, and you know what? Our stories may not ever be absolutely complete. But if we leave it open for other people to come in and seep their story into our lives and let our lives, our stories seep into theirs, it makes it worth it, you know?
Well, and I think it makes you a stronger person,
yes,
too. I think
absolutely.
It makes for healthier relationships. You touched on that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I hadn't even realized when I wrote this podcast was that you're absolutely right. My entire life, I had struggled with single stories, with brokenness, with this idea that I wasn't good enough. And, you know, and I think that resulted in, you know, relationships and whatnot. And when I began the healing journey after the divorce, it was really eye-opening that let's dive back into my single story is that, yes, I am divorced. Yes, I am a single mom. Yes, I do live with my parents, although they actually live with me. I'll just throw that in there. But
yes, they do.
And, you know, I do have brokenness in my life. But that's not my whole story. Because I'm divorced, I am able to live the life that God intended for me to live. Because I'm a single mom, I am able to be a strong, independent
Absolutely.
Woman and raise my daughter the way I see fit.
You betcha.
These are pieces of my story. And it goes back to that quote. They're not untrue. They are accurate labels in the fact that, yes, I am single. Yes, I am divorced. Yes, I am raising a child on my own. But there's so much more to that than mm-hmm. just those single words, those single stories, those single yep. narratives. And I want for you guys to hear this because I have been there. I have struggled with this. There are days that I still struggle with this. But as I started the healing process and as I started to identify these things and I started to realize that these weren't things I needed to hide. They were things I needed to embrace and realize that they were part of what made me who I am, but that there are also other things that make me who I am. There are good things too. I became stronger. I became more confident. I became more aware of me. And when I did all of those things, I was able to be more fully present. Yes. Sorry, I love that word.
Yes.
I was able to be more of a complete person because I understood my story. So I was able to be there in relationships. I was able to be present in friendships. I was able to be present in my family and with my daughter.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, really good thing that you brought up about your son. I mean, these are things obviously that I teach Marley, and I want her to be just wow, independent, phenomenal, great, doesn't need, you know, I just want her to be awesome. And I want to teach her those skill sets, but how can I teach her those if I don't understand how to do them in my own life?
Right.
And so that was part of the healing process for me, was that I wanted to be able to give this to Marley, and how can I give that? And I mean, I'm sure you guys have all heard the scenario that you can't be in a relationship if you aren't complete, you know?
Right.
And I think this plays into that a lot. I think that this idea of labeling ourselves and labeling others, we start to look at all the negative things and we start to forget all the good things. And that's the problem with stereotypes. And that's the problem with single stories, is that they have a tendency to center around very specific things that normally aren't positive, you know, because whether it's societal norms or whether they're the ones that we created for ourselves. And like, I mean, I know there's a lot of wave going on right now about, body awareness and being body awareness positive. And again, I think that plays into the single story. We don't know what their journey is and why they are where they are. Maybe there was abuse that they, you know, had to deal with, or maybe there was, and I think it's just that it's allowing us to be sensitive people,
right?
Good whole people.
And I can't ignore the fact that I allowed God to change my heart and to change the way that I viewed myself. And I pray that we all allow God to come in and to help us change our hearts so that we can change our stories, that we can grow in our stories, that we can be who God intended us to be in this world, this day, this very moment, so that we can communicate and that we can be there for each other and that we can feel like, man, I am a strong woman. And that's how I try to live my life. It's like, okay, so what if I have flaws in somebody else's eyes? And even in my eyes, when I look in the mirror, oh Lord, you know, yeah. This is so not cool looking. But, you know, it's who I am. And if I can come to grips with who I am, my identity in Christ is so much stronger than my identity in me. Mm-hmm. And if I can understand that, then I can live out my story so much easier and so much stronger. And it's just an amazing journey that we can go through that I don't have to feel like, wow, that was a wasted 20 years of my life. No, it wasn't, because I wouldn't be the person, the woman I am today, without all of that crap that happened.
Right.
And it was difficult, and I would not want to go through that again for anything, except for the fact that I'm who I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to share one other really cool story. And I think, you know, we always make the comment that kids say the darndest things and, you know, they have no filters. And, you know, we raise our kids to be aware. And I've read many articles on this about parents, about how they, because I mean, obviously I want to know how to do it with Marley, was, you know, how do we face some of those hard questions that kids have, or how do we keep them from saying something about the way somebody looks when we're in the grocery store, or whatever scenario it is. And one of the things that I discovered after hearing this podcast or the TED Talk was that I had done that with Marley. When Marley asked questions, I actually didn't have her shy away from asking questions, but I didn't have her ask me. I had her ask the people, you know, so why is your hair that color? Or why do you have that tattoo? Or why do you, you know, why are you in a wheelchair? And obviously I helped frame the questions so that they weren't insensitive, but I think that starts a conversation. And mm-hmm. so she was learning about the person. It wasn't that she was critical of the fact that the person looked that way or acted that way. It was that she wanted to know why, mm-hmm. you know, and it mm-hmm. is, it's the innocence of a child. And I think if you keep that perspective, it helps. And so I'm going to share a really cool story. And this is not a knock on anyone, because I think sometimes some of the things that we think are just so instinctual, you know, because, and I think it comes out of a caring place sometimes too. So I had the awesome experience of being able to go to Africa for a month. And I was in three different countries. I was in Kenya, I was in Tanzania, and I was in Uganda. Now, my daughter has grown up in a household where the obvious differences that you probably are hearing based on the countries that I were in, she doesn't see those. She doesn't right. see those differences at all, because she's grown up in a home where that has been, I mean, they've stayed at our house. We've gone to visit them. You know, we have, I mean, it's just, it's part of our world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when we got there, we went and stayed in one of the villages while we were there. And this is a very remote village. I mean, it took all day to drive out into the middle of the nowhere. This village had no running water. They have no electricity. The pastor's home was the only one who had a light bulb. Take that in for a second, a light bulb. And it was completely run by solar power from a small panel he had on his house. So we stayed in this village for about 4 or 5 days. And for the most part, it was all adults. I was the second youngest in my 30s. Everyone else was older. And then my daughter. And my daughter went out, language barriers, among other things. And my daughter ran out there and she jumped rope and she played ball and she mm-hmm. ran and she kicked and she held the baby. And she, you know, I mean, she wanted to take one of the babies home with us, which probably would have been an issue. But
probably.
But she didn't see anything other than children to play right. with. She didn't see poverty. She didn't see broken down homes. She didn't see dirty clothes. She didn't see any of right. the stereotypes that I'm sure you can take into, you can just envision. Again, we were in the middle of nowhere. These people live off of their land. They have no running water, no electricity. I mean, there's so many stereotypes that could immediately pop into your mind with this. The families gave everything for us to be there. They were amazing. We had a blast. But where I'm going with this is that one of the adults, the first thing she saw was the tattered clothes, the hand-me-down clothes, the mm-hmm. stained clothes, the, you know, the dirt. Most of the homes had dirt floors. They didn't have actual like floors. It was just on the ground. And, you know, or the lack of electricity or the hike that they had to take to get to the creek to get their water. Right. And again, those were all out of very caring places. Those things that she was concerned about were things she thought she could help fix. But again, it's about the single story. These families didn't know anything different. They didn't know there was anything wrong with them mm-hmm. until these white Americans came in and were, you know, seeing problems.
Right.
No, granted, she didn't vocalize that to anyone else but us, but her heart was in the right place, mm-hmm. but she didn't allow herself to see the whole story.
Right.
My daughter, on the other hand, all she saw were kids to play with. So mm-hmm. she just ran out there and had a good time. It was an amazing trip. Really great things came out of it, but I just wanted to give you a really contrast visual of this. I wanted you to really hear a descriptive story that would allow you to see two very different worlds coming together. And while we were there, we saw how we were all so much alike. God being at the center of that particular
Beautiful.
Trip. But I mean, there was so much more than that. Right. I mean, I got out there and jumped rope. I was able to talk with them, you know, and even though there was a language barrier, we still were able to communicate in such a beautiful way mm-hmm. because we didn't allow stereotypes, single stories, assumptions, whatever word you want to use to describe it, to get in the way of the ability of us to be able to learn about each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I, again, I want you to take on 2020 ready to be awesome, to be amazing, to be beautifully you, what God intended. And don't bring your baggage with you. Mm-hmm. Don't allow your stereotypes, your labels of not only yourself, but of others to bog you down this year. Allow yourself to go out there and just be amazing.
Yes.
Don't get trapped. Don't get lost in a single story. I hope that you will go and listen to the full story on TED Talk. I hope that this podcast has inspired something in you, if you have questions, if you want to talk this out more, we'd love to have that conversation with you. As always, you can find us at beencouraged.com. You can check us out on all of our social media platforms. We are glad that you are here. We are happy that we get to celebrate this new year with you. We want to build these stories. We want to build these relationships, and we want to connect each other. Thank you again. I hope that this new year is everything that you hoped it will be, and we will talk to you on the next podcast.
Happy New Year. Bye.